Leave your songbooks out, if you would, or get them back out if you put them up. Thank you, everybody, for being here this afternoon. It's been a blessing to be here already and to get to worship God with you all and praise God in song. Leave your songbooks open to number 191. Colby, thank you for leading that. We're going to be talking through this song for a little bit this afternoon. Songs, of course, are written by humans, and we understand that humans can make mistakes, but thankfully we have a songbook full of songs that have a lot of thought put into them. Men and women have written the words to these songs and put music to them so that we can express what is on our hearts. And as we read through and as we sing through these songs, they're all talking about something. Similar themes, but they have different paths that they take. This song is simply telling the story of Jesus, just like the title says. It's talking about what Jesus did, what he experienced while he was here on this earth. So this afternoon, what we're going to do is we're just going to talk through this song. We're going to work through the verses of this song. And hopefully as we do that, and as we look at verses that correspond with all of the thoughts in this song, then we can understand, first of all, that all of our songs have scriptural thoughts behind them. But also, the goal is that we get closer to the story of Jesus. Because it truly is, as the song points out, the sweetest story that ever has been told or heard, and it's the most precious story that we can understand. So that's what we're going to do this afternoon. And instead of using PowerPoint, just leave your songbooks open, because that's what we're going to be doing, is we're simply going to be working through the verses of this song. It starts off, "Tell me the story of Jesus." Jesus's life was a story, and it is a story. Jesus's life is still continuing today. His story still continues. And of course, as we say story, what comes to my mind, at least, is one of those storybooks that you have that has a bunch of made-up fairy tales in it. Jesus's story is not that kind of story. Jesus's story is a true story. Jesus's story is one that affects lives and that changes people's hearts. So as we sing this song, we're reflecting on the story of Jesus. And as we sing this song, we are asking to know more about the story of Jesus. We're asking to hear it. His story, Jesus's story, changes people's lives and it shapes hearts even today. And Jesus's story wasn't just a story of while he was alive. This song goes through different aspects of Jesus's life while he was here on this earth. But really, Jesus's story goes much further than that. The story of Jesus began before Genesis chapter 1, and it continues even now. Jesus's story is one that is unending. But as we look at this story, we're going to be focusing on Jesus's story as he lived here on this world. The second line of the song, "Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word." So as we begin singing this song about the story of Jesus, we ask, "Write on my heart every word." The idea of putting the story of Jesus deep inside us, putting the story of Jesus even on our hearts and writing it there. This idea goes all the way back to the book of Deuteronomy. And in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 17, a command was given for every king that would come into the nation of Israel. They were supposed to physically write out a copy of the law. They're supposed to copy it down and then keep it in front of them so that they would pay attention to it. So this idea of writing the story of Jesus, even on our hearts, comes from a physical principle in the book of Deuteronomy. But now it is a very spiritual principle. We want the story of Jesus to be etched onto our hearts, changing who we are from the inside out. The next line of the song, "Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard." And we've talked about this idea already. It really is the most precious story that can be talked about. There's a lot of stories that we can share, and there's a lot of stories that have meaning to them, even if they're just physical stories. But Jesus's story is much greater than that. It's the greatest one that can ever be told. The most important thing that we can share, that we can talk about, that we can spend time learning more about. It's the most important one that we could ever spend our time with. And then we get into Jesus' life. "Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth." Get out your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Next, as we sing in this song, we talk about angels singing as they welcome Jesus into this world. And of course, as we sing these words, we're recounting history, what actually happened. And we read about it in Luke chapter 2, and of course in other Gospels as well. But go to Luke chapter 2, just start in verse 8 with me to get some context. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men." So as we sing this line in the song, we're repeating what happened as Jesus was born. These shepherds were out in a field, and an angel appears to them. And then in verse 13, suddenly there's this great host of angels. And what is all of this great heavenly host doing? They're all, verse 14, praising God by saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace, goodwill towards men." Now, what does the next line in the song say? Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth. The last line in verse 1. As we sing these words in our songbook, we're literally repeating the same words that angels sang as they welcome Jesus into the world. Of course, in a different language. But we're repeating exactly what angels said as they welcome Jesus onto this physical earth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth. What does that really mean? First of all, the goal of these angels praising God is to bring the glory to Him. Jesus' story, first and foremost, is to bring glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. As Jesus was born, that's what was saying. But then that second phrase, peace and good tidings to earth. Jesus' story, not only does it bring glory to God, it brings peace and it brings blessings to everyone on the earth as well. That's why Jesus' story is the most precious that can ever be told or shared. Because it brings peace and it brings blessing to all those who are on the earth. Sometimes when we're living here, stuff gets hard. There's difficulties. There's stuff that doesn't seem like it's going well. But what is the message of Jesus' story? Peace and good tidings on earth. When we're going through those hard times, when things don't seem to be peaceful, we can always look to Jesus and the fact that angels, as they welcomed Him into this world, sang, "Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth." That's what Jesus brings to each one of us. And that's why the story of Jesus is so precious. And what an amazing thing that as we sing this song together, and as we just did, we're repeating the same words that angels sang as they welcome Jesus into the world. All right, now look at verse 2 in your songbooks. Verse 2 starts off by saying, "Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past." So this moves into another stage of Jesus' life. After Jesus was born, He of course grew up, and we don't actually have a whole lot in the Bible about that time period. There are several things that give us little snippets of Jesus growing up. But really, we don't pick up with Jesus' life until He's quite a bit older. And the song does the same thing. It talks about Him fasting alone in the desert. Go to Matthew chapter 4 with me. Matthew chapter 4. Of course, as we tell the story of Jesus through this song, we include what He went through in His physical life. And that's what verse 2 is all about. It starts out with His temptations, and then it goes through parts of His life. And first, it talks about Him fasting alone in the desert. In Matthew chapter 4, this is right after Jesus was baptized. So in Matthew chapter 3, Jesus is baptized. And then Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, He was hungry. So as we sing in the song, "Tell Me the Story of Jesus," we're repeating what happened in Matthew chapter 4 with Jesus alone in the desert and hungry. Fasting by himself in the desert. And then the next line in our songbooks, how for our sins he was tempted. That also is what's happening in Matthew chapter 4. Read with me through these temptations that Jesus endures. And by no means are these the only temptations that Jesus faces while he's here on this earth. But this is one example of what Jesus had to go through as he was tempted for our sins. Matthew chapter 4, pick up in verse 3. When the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up onto the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All of these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Jesus was tempted as he was here on this earth. Part of the story of Jesus is the fact that he had to go through these temptations. Now, as you notice these temptations, Jesus was tempted with physical things. He was tempted with pride. Does that sound like things that we are tempted with as well? We're tempted with physical pleasures and with pride all of the time. Jesus was tempted in the same way as we are. He was tempted for our sins. But again, look at your songbooks. On the second line in verse 2, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. There's the difference. Jesus was tempted like we are, and that's part of his story. But Jesus, as he was tempted, he was triumphant. He was victorious over those temptations. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Jesus was tempted like a man as he was here in a physical body, and he did it for our sins. But yet he was triumphant. As we're tempted, we give in, we have weaknesses. But Jesus was not that way. He was tempted. He felt the same things that we do. But notice what Hebrews chapter 4 says. Starting in verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus was tempted just like us, just like we are. But that last couple words in verse 15 is key. Yet without sin. Jesus was triumphant. And part of the story of Jesus, part of telling the story of Jesus, is to always tell the fact, yes, Jesus was tempted, but he was triumphant. He was victorious. He pushed through those temptations and gained victory because of that. We need to be thankful for this triumph that Jesus had over temptation. Every time we think about the story of Jesus, this is part of it. The fact that he was tempted, but he was victorious. And what an amazing blessing that is to us, because he lived that perfect life and could be a perfect sacrifice. Now the next lines in the song, in verse 2. "Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor." These couple lines take a big picture view of Jesus' life while he was here on this earth. These couple verses cover several years of Jesus' life while he was teaching. And notice what it has to say about Jesus' life. It was years of labor, years of sorrow. He was despised, afflicted, homeless, rejected, and poor. Think about that list for a minute. All of those attributes that are tied to the story of Jesus. If you had to pick one off of that list, what do you think you would choose for your life? Would you choose homeless, rejected, despised? None of us want any of those things. That whole list is a list of negative things, but that's how Jesus lived. He was here for us. And so as he lived, he went through these horrible things of sorrow and rejection and homelessness. That's what the story of Jesus is. It's a story of what he went through. Go to Isaiah chapter 53 with me. Isaiah chapter 53. Jesus' story is much bigger than just four Gospels in the New Testament. Jesus' story extends earlier than Genesis and later than Revelation. And one example of that is in Isaiah chapter 53. It's a chapter that a lot of us recognize as being written about Jesus, even though this was hundreds of years before Jesus was ever on the earth. So Jesus, before he came to the world, he had this description given of him. Isaiah chapter 53, starting verse 1. Who has believed our report, and whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. The words of this song, tell me the story of Jesus, as we sing this line, it comes a lot from Isaiah chapter 53. And as it describes Jesus, it talks about what he went through. He was a despised person. He was rejected by men. That's how Jesus' life was while he was here on this earth. And again, not a pleasant life. But as we tell the story of Jesus, it's crucial that we tell this part. His life was not a life of pleasantness. He didn't come to this earth and look for the nicest house he could live in. It's not who Jesus was. That was not his purpose. Go to Luke chapter 9 with me. As we talk about this fact about Jesus' life, that he lived a hard life while he was here, there are so many scriptures that we could look at that illustrate that point for us. And I just want to give a couple examples of that. Luke chapter 9 being one of those. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. As someone came to Jesus and looked at Jesus and said, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. It's pretty great up to that point, but what's Jesus' response? Jesus said, Foxes and birds, they have places to live, but the Son of Man doesn't. Jesus doesn't have a place to lay his head. He doesn't have a home. Because again, that was not Jesus' purpose for being here. The purpose of Jesus' story is to bring glory to God and to bring peace to those who are on the earth. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Jesus, as he teaches, he travels all around the area of Galilee and he teaches in a lot of different places. But in Mark chapter 6, we see Jesus go back to his hometown to preach. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, Where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary? And brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. So Jesus goes home. He's been teaching a lot of different places. He goes back to his hometown. And as he begins teaching there, what does it say the people were? They were offended at him. As Jesus started teaching, they start saying, Who is this? We know his family. We know his brothers and his sisters and his dad. Who is this person? They were offended at him. In verse 4, Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. He could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. Jesus was rejected. Even as he went back home, he was rejected. Men did not look for Jesus in this kind of light. They wanted someone who looked good. They didn't want somebody that they knew. They didn't want somebody whose family they knew. So they rejected him. Again, this is the story of Jesus. As far as physical characteristics go, there's not a whole lot about Jesus that people would have liked. And Isaiah chapter 53 tells us that in verse 2. But the important thing about Jesus isn't his physical characteristics. Those got him rejected and despised. But it's what he brings spiritually. And again, we've talked about that. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings on earth. This is the story of Jesus. It's a story of sorrow and rejection. That's what he went through. But now go to verse 3. Verse 3 of the psalm. Tell of the cross where they nailed him. Now we jump to the end of Jesus' story on earth. We go to the end of his life. Jesus, he lived a life. He suffered a lot. We talked about that. He taught a lot of people. He was rejected over and over again and mistreated. And then as you get to the end of his life, it doesn't change. It just gets worse. As you get to the end of Jesus' physical story, he's nailed to a cross. He's put on a cross. Go to Philippians chapter 2. The fact that he was nailed on a cross, there's much involved with that. One is what the next line in the song brings up. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Part of Jesus being on the cross was the physical pain that came with it. Pain greater than I can imagine, than I've even come close to going through. That's what Jesus had to endure. Philippians chapter 2, as Paul writes about Jesus' life and death, he starts in verse 5, Let this mind be with you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of a man. That's the story of Jesus, in part. Jesus was equal with God, but yet he humbled himself to the likeness of a man. Verse 8, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. As Paul writes this, it's as if he says, Jesus humbled himself to the point that he was willing to die. But even more than that, he was willing to die on the cross. Because not only was the cross a very painful way to die, it was a very humiliating way to die as well. As Jesus was crucified, do you remember who he was next to? He was next to two thieves. As Jesus died, he's with robbers. He's with wicked people. The death of crucifixion was a very humiliating death. A public execution of people that deserved it. That's what Jesus went through. That's part of his story. He was nailed to a painful cross. The next line of the song. Tell of the years, love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. I skipped a line. Verse 3, tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. That's what I was looking for. After Jesus' death on the cross, after the humiliation, after the pain, Jesus dies. And Jesus, after he dies, he's taken and he's put in a grave. Go to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Again, one thing that we've been trying to do as we go through this song is also note the historical records that go with it. And as this song tells us, Jesus was put in a grave. Luke also tells us that Jesus was put in a grave. Luke chapter 23. Read with me, starting in verse 50. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision indeed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Now, stop in verse 52 for a second. Let's talk about this man. This man named Joseph. He's described as a good and a just man. And then we also learned that when Jesus was put to death, this man Joseph, he was not okay with that. He did not consent to the fact that Jesus was put to death. So after Jesus is dead, what does he do? He goes up to Pilate and he asks for the body of this man. He asks for the body of Jesus. Verse 53. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock where no one had ever been laid before. So Jesus, after he died, he was taken and he was buried. He was put in this tomb where no one had ever laid before. which is a fulfillment of Isaiah 53, verse 9, talking about His death and His burial. But as Jesus is buried, this is a very gloomy time. There are people who have followed Him all of the time that He spent teaching. And now He's dead. He died a humiliating death. Now He's buried. If the story of Jesus, and if this song, ended right here with the grave where they laid Him, what kind of story would this be? This would be a story of a man who was born a humble birth, rose up against the government, rebelled, was rejected, didn't have a home to live in, and then was killed in a public humiliating way. It's not really a story to be remembered. And Paul recognizes that. Go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In this chapter, Paul talks about the significance of the resurrection. And as Paul talks about Jesus' death, he tells us in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. Actually, start in verse 16. If the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Paul recognizes the fact. If the story of Jesus ended with His death, then it would be a pretty tragic story. And it wouldn't do any good for us. But of course we know the story of Jesus doesn't end here. The song doesn't end here. Notice the next line. Tell of the grave where they laid Him. Tell how He liveth again. The story of Jesus continues after His death. Now for us, none of our stories will continue after our death as far as us being alive. With Jesus, it's different. And again, that's what makes His story the most precious story that can ever be heard. Is because we can tell about how He lives again. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice verse 20. After Paul says, if Christ isn't risen, then we have no hope. In verse 20, he says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Paul says, but Christ was risen. The story doesn't end there. And as we tell the story of Jesus, we can tell about how Jesus lives again. This makes His life no longer a story of rebellion and failure. It makes His story one of ultimate victory. Victory even over death. Because as we tell the story of Jesus, and as we hear the story of Jesus, we hear about how He lives again. This is what makes His story incredible. This is what makes His story the most precious story that can ever be told. And so continuing in the song in verse 3, tell of the grave where they laid Him, tell how He liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. As we tell the story of Jesus, as we hear the story of Jesus, this is what needs to become very obvious and evident. Jesus' story is a story of love. The story of Jesus is one of love that is tender and is clear. And as we tell the story of Jesus, that's what we need to realize. And that's what we need to share with others. Jesus' story is one of love. Go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Oftentimes, as we talk about love today, we talk about our love for God and how great our love for God is. And amen to that. That is fantastic. We need to be talking about that. How great of a love we have for God. But 1 John chapter 4 tells us something that comes first. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. Actually, start in verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That is where love is. Yes, we do love God. And I pray that all of our love grows for God every day. But first and foremost, love is God's love for us and the fact that He sent His Son. That is the true example of love. That is where it is so clear and so tender, as we see the story of Jesus. But notice the point that John is making. As he talks about this great amount of love in the context, that's not even John's main point. His point is in verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. That's his point. Because of this massive amount of clear and tender love that the story of Jesus shows to us, as we see that, we need to love each other. Because the story of Jesus is one of love. And then the song ends in the last line of verse 3. Stay, let me weep while you whisper. Love paid the ransom for me. As this song ends, we talk about the reaction. The reaction in this song is weeping and recognizing the love that Jesus has. When we sing about the story of Jesus, when we read about the story of Jesus, or when we tell the story of Jesus, it needs to have an effect on us. Now, I'm not saying every time we sing this song or every time we talk about Jesus, we need to cry. That's not the point. The point is there's a reaction. Jesus' story of clear and tender love is one that brings a reaction to everyone who hears it. Now, for some, the reaction is rejection. And we can read about that in the book of Acts. How people rejected the story of Jesus when Stephen told it. But for some, and hopefully for us today, when we hear the story of Jesus, our reaction is to love God in return. Because of the great love that He has for us. So as we read about the story of Jesus, as we sing about the true story of who Jesus is, we need to understand, we need to react to that. This needs to change our lives. And again, going back to the one of the first things that this song says, write on my heart every word. We need to let the story of Jesus have an effect on our lives. Let it be in our hearts. Let it change who we are and how we treat one another and those in the world because of that. Jesus' story is one of love, and it is a powerful story. I know that every time I pay special attention to the story of Jesus, I get more motivation to live like Jesus did. And to live like I'm supposed to. The story of Jesus is a life-changing story. And we need to give our lives over to Him because of that. Our story should be one of reflecting who Jesus is. So this afternoon, if the story of Jesus isn't at the center, if the story of Jesus isn't at the center of your life, then think very seriously about changes that need to be made. Think about what you can do to put Jesus back at the center. Perhaps spending more time in our Bibles will do that for us. Perhaps if we take 15 minutes a day and read through part of Scripture, that will get the story of Jesus back in the center of our lives. Maybe there's sin that's keeping the story out. Maybe there's sin in our hearts that won't let the story of Jesus take root. We need to get rid of that sin. If it's between you and God, go to God and ask for His forgiveness. And then change. Repentance includes a change of behavior. If it's something public, then ask for the forgiveness of those who are affected by it. And if it's the fact that you haven't been baptized yet, then let the story of Jesus affect you in that way. Give your life over to God. Be baptized to have your sins washed away. Jesus' story is one of love. That is what He desires from each one of us. Think about these things, and if we can help you this afternoon, come up to the front while we stand and sing.